Welcome to another segment of Business Spotlight Interviews. Today we have a wonderful guest, Liz Rebecca Alarcón from Pulso. Hello, Liz, how are you?
Hi, Ana Paula. I'm very happy to be chatting.
I'm so glad that you were able to take some time off and give us a little bit of your story. So tell us a little bit about you. How did you get started with Pulso?
Well, I did not grow up in an entrepreneurial family, and so this was kind of a career pivot. I have a background in international relations and Latin American studies and the media. And around 2016, when the tide started changing politically, I knew I wanted to do something more and have impact through uniting those two worlds. So an accelerator for media outlets focused on the audiences that mainstream media is not always covering in the best way was looking for someone to start a new outlet for Latinos. It didn't have a name. It didn't have a content structure. It didn't have a goal or mission quite yet. And so I joined in January of 2018 as a solopreneur under the incubator Accelerate Change, and slowly, with a lot of customer discovery and walking around and talking to Latinos to see what kind of content they wanted, Pulso was born, and we're 6 years old now.
Wow, 6 years old. That's amazing. And tell us a little bit about, well, if it's been 6 years, how did you have, what was the impact of COVID on your business? Did you have, was it?
You know, thankfully, Ana Paula, we were kind of ahead of the game. Since I founded Pulso in 2018, we've been fully remote. And so I am here in Miami, but my team, which has been growing through the last 6 years, we're now a team of 11 with several part-time content creators across the country, have always been fully distributed and remote. And so thankfully, when the pandemic hit, as a team internally, we were already ready for it in that sense. What had changed and what has kept evolving is the kind of content our audience consumes. So we're a media outlet that creates history, culture, and commentary for Latinos and by Latinos. And at the height of COVID and 2020, there were so many things happening, a deeply important election, a racial uprising, obviously a pandemic. And so our audience was craving content with messengers that looked and sounded like them in ways that were much more newsy and much more rapid response, I guess, if you will, in that time. And we're doing much less of that kind of content now. So now we do commentary on things happening, but you'll see much less news when you go to Pulso's outlets because of just the changing content appetite of the people we serve.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine. So what would you say have been in 6 years? I mean, I'm sure that you must have had lots of ups and downs and a lot of learnings along the way. So what would you say would be like your top three learning since you started Pulso?
Oh my gosh. I think the first is really embrace the experimental lean approach of how we do what we do, because we failed a lot at the content strategy, at the hiring process, at a cult internal processes of all sorts. We've gotten a lot of things wrong. But because of that experimental approach, we've gotten a lot of things right, and we've learned to iterate quickly by having that a testing and experimental and failure welcoming atmosphere. So I think that's the first one. The experimental approach has really served us well. The second one is a consistent communication with our audience is key. So we are doing customer discovery all the time, asking for surveys, asking people their opinion, what do they think, and adapting to serve their needs, not necessarily what the team likes, but it's what our audience wants and needs. And so keeping our audience first has been another big learning. And I think the third one is remember that our content is for and by us. I think sometimes as Latinos, especially given our content that we are focused on the Latino community, we sometimes fall into this trap of wanting to explain Latinidad to people who are not Latinos. It's like, you know what? We are unapologetically for nuestra gente. And I don't much care if a non-Latino from South Dakota understands our topics, our traditions, and my content is not for them. And so really owning that niche, and like that, I can say any other demographic. It's not like we don't welcome people outside of the community, but we are not creating for them. And so really knowing who we are serving has helped us really create content that's authentic to us and not like an explainer on what the taco is to someone who's not from our community.
Got it. Yes, I think that it allows for a lot of distraction when you start doing that, right? When you're not as focused on one particular market, it's just you start kind of trying to cater to everybody and then you end up catering to no one.
Exactly.
Excellent. So aside from that, what would you say you find most inspiring today?
Oh my gosh, Ana Paula, I have so many saved screenshots on my phone from the moving messages our audience shares when we create content that really hits, as the youth would say. I am especially moved and inspired when our audience tells us, oh my gosh, I didn't learn this history in school. The strong suit of Pulso is sharing history content that we're really not taught in our classrooms. We're not taught in the books that we read as children. Our own parents might not know the contributions of Latinos to this country. And so anytime someone says, that is so amazing, I didn't know about that law that help give Latinos our rights. I didn't know about that amazing Latina who broke barriers in business and science and technology and food. When I see audience members truly learn and be proud of being Latino because of the content that we help them uncover, there is nothing more inspiring and more fulfilling than that. And we get a lot of those messages. So whenever we do, we know we're on the right track and we keep creating that content to keep serving with the hand.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I totally agree with you. I think that even now, I still every once in a while, and especially through these interviews, I come across some people that tell me their stories in the background of their of how they got into business. And I that there was a few months ago, I was doing a series of spotlight interviews in Spanish for the community in Miami of entrepreneurs that are Spanish speaking. And I came across so many wonderful stories, and it's always good to know the backstory of how everybody got to where they are at now. So that's really cool. What did would you say that ever since you were little, you had this vision that you were going to create something like this, or is this just had kind of find you somehow?
It's a little bit of both, Ana Paula. My mother was a journalist, and I grew up as the daughter of a single mom who would take me to the newsroom when I was 7, 8, 9, and I would do my homework next to her cubicle with her colleagues in El Nuevo Herald, and I would watch her behind the camera in Univision and Telemundo when she would go do her segment sharing what would come out in the newspaper the day after. So this was the early 2000s and a different time for both newspapers and TV. And I have many home videos and even reportajes that my mom would do where I'm like, quiero ser reportera como mi mamá when I was little. So that was definitely a dream. And my mom was fantastic. And I definitely see her as one of my heroes. And so I definitely grew up with that. But then my path moved towards international relations, Latin American studies, diplomacy, politics, and later on in life, in part because of her passing 11 years ago, I was re-inspired to connect those two worlds. So I think it's a bit of destiny, it's a bit of growing up that way, a bit of, the polarized times. It's a little bit of everything. Definitely not in this form. It's not like I had a visualization of having my own media outlet one day, but I'm not too surprised that I ended up in media.
Yeah. I had an aunt growing up that was a TV reporter back in Mexico in Guadalajara, and I remember when we were little, my cousins and I, we would sometimes go to the studio with her, and we loved watching her. She's amazing, but anyway, that's awesome.
I love that.
Yes, I mean it, and she's still to this day, she might not be a reporter, but whenever you meet her, she always has this long list of questions. Whenever, when we were younger and we had boyfriends, she would start interviewing them, and it's just like, relax, stop asking
Yeah, it's like
questions.
that bane never goes away. And you know, our role models in our family, sometimes they don't know the impact that they're having on us. Y mira, Tia had this deep impact that she may not have even known when she was just, you know, pursuing her dreams. So I think about that a lot with my own daughter, of setting the example of you accomplishing the things that you want, being a successful business owner, and showing her how it's done, or just pursuing your career path. We underestimate what an impact that has on our younger generation. So not to get too mushy here, but it's beautiful that you share that anecdote.
Yeah, thank you. And what is, if you had to start Pulso all over again, what would be something like advice that you would give yourself about it?
Get an executive coach in year one and not in year five. Really, I know that that's not always something that's affordable, but there are so many programs, especially for Latinas, to help you in the process. It's a lot to think about. And especially when it comes to being a Latina woman at the helm, there are prejudices and biases and unfair stigmas, and also a lot to learn from us as well on how to lead a team and how to lead an org, organizational change management. That world is something that I learned on the job, and I would have saved myself a lot of hard lessons that I had to learn and mistakes that I made had I had someone accompanying me along the way much earlier. I think that that's such crucial advice. You know, a lot of management is intuitive. I'm a big people person and I love developing people, but a lot of hard issues when you're dealing with a startup that has not had a validated model where you're building the thing as it goes and managing a team as it goes. Oof. It's been difficult, rewarding, hard, and the biggest lesson of my life. So, all the support that you can seek at the beginning. And if you can't hire an executive coach, there are again a lot of people who do this for women of color and Latinas and Latinos. But if you can afford it, because I know that it's hard to start a business at the beginning, please read all the books and find all the free support that you can, because again, that would have saved me a lot if I would have done that a lot sooner.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that because I come across as a coach, as a business and executive coach, I come across a lot of startups, and that's the number one reason why they at the beginning they're like, I don't know if I can do this because it's expensive and I can't afford it, and it's like, well, you have to think about it as an investment, and we're going to be working toward you being able to set up those structures that you need to put in place in order to support the growth that you need to that you're going to be having. If you put those structures in place. And yes, it's just, I think that, like you were saying, for you, you had to take the learnings along the way, and it might have taken a little bit longer than if you would have been able to take on a coach. But then there's also mentors, like you were saying. It's not always that you have to pay, and there are other programs in the city that can also help out. With Action Coach, I have a program that's called Coaching for a Cause, where we take on nonprofits and we
Oh,
coach them
perfect.
for free for 6 months,
There you go.
which is a
Everyone
really awesome.
listening, sign up
Yeah.
now.
It's true. It really makes a huge difference to just have some, and even just to have someone to be a sounding board, right?
Absolutely.
Did you take on a coach, or do you have a few mentors? I mean, you had your mom, that was an inspiration, but.
I did a program probably year three of Pulso called the Coaching Fellowship. For women leaders in the nonprofit and impact space. And that program was highly subsidized and highly useful. So I'm very grateful for that. And then like I said, in year five, I had another coach as well, especially through a lot of transitions that Pulso is going through right now, as exiting our fiscal sponsorship, as exiting The incubator, lots of changes throughout the team, setting a vision for the next 5 years. And so I have been able to count with that support. And another thing that has been crucial for me is having other executive directors and founders across the country to build community with, to talk about the things that I can't share really with anyone else that only they understand. So that peer-led community and that coaching and mentorship support has been really valuable.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And just last question. If you were to be able to time travel to when you were 18 years old, what advice would you give yourself?
At 18, I would tell myself soak it in. Soak it in a little more. I was going a million miles an hour, and I wouldn't tell myself to slow down because I was comiéndome el mundo, and I still am with a different pace and a daughter and a dog now. No, but yeah, just soak it in a little bit more. I was achieving big things and enjoying a Fulbright in Costa Rica right after graduating college, and I was churning on the next thing already and getting ready for grad school. And yeah, I would have wanted to soak it all in because I look back really fondly on that time, and it was really remarkable that I got to do so many amazing things. So I would say that.
Yeah. And if I could stop and smell the coffee or smell the roses or taste
Exactly.
smell
Yeah, just
the
take it in a little bit more.
enjoy it. Excellent. Thank you so much, Liz, for joining us today. We're going to be wrapping up now. Is there anything else that you would like to share with our audience today?
Well, first, thank you, Ana Paula, por la invitación, and just an invitation to everyone listening to follow Project Pulso on Instagram, TikTok. You'll find us on Facebook. And we also have a podcast, and season 5 is coming live in March. So if you search for the Pulso podcast anywhere where you listen, you'll have great stories about Latino history, culture, and commentary on all platforms.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your time. Loved having you here and hearing your story and the voice of the Latino community as well through you. Thank you so
Thank you.
much.
Thank you.